for the U.S. government gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, they're also the views of our special guest this afternoon, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, who was formerly Undersecretary of the Treasury during the Reagan administration. And he's certainly one of the most prolific writers we have today, and you go up on the Internet and pull down his articles. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was what's going on over in Iran. Now, certainly the House of Representatives had a vote recently within the last week condemning, of course, the Iranian government for their suppression of the people demonstrating against the unfairness of the election. The vote was, I think, 434-1. One person stood up and said, we don't really know what's going on over there. All we know it was what we're seeing on television. I mean, why do we want to interfere in the Iranian election? Certainly, if we don't really know, all we know is what we're told by our government, we're controlled by the media, what's really going on over there? And I think we should ask that, is it possible that our minds are being molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested by the people who control the media? Well, there was a recent article written by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. It's one reason I wanted to get him on this afternoon, and perhaps we can get to finances later on, because he's certainly one of the outstanding experts on that. But I think it's so vitally important to begin to question what we are being told by the media about Iran. Dr. Roberts, would you like to pick up this idea of what's going on in Iran? Do we really have any idea what's going on?
Well, it's difficult, but I think I have an idea, because we've been told by the media, by ABC News, by the London Telegraph, by Cy Hirsch and the New Yorker, as long ago as May of 2007, that the United States government had signed a presidential order instructing the CIA to destabilize and topple the Iranian government. And we know that $450 million was appropriated, at least initially, for this. We don't know how much more has been added. We know this is just a known fact. It's not a speculation. It's not subject to a debate. It's just a known fact. We also know that the United States government supports a variety of terrorist organizations within Iran that are part of the minority populations there. They come, I think, under the umbrella of MEK. And we know that they have succeeded in assassinating people and bombing mosques and other things. And so we know for a fact that for at least 2 years, and possibly many more, because the black ops operations of the United States government often precede presidential authority. But we know that at least for 2 years and 1 month, these operations have been going on in Iran. And you can see that they would target the election, because during these 2 years, the American media and the United States government have successfully demonized the current Iranian president who won the election. So they have a demonized figure to operate against, in the current election. And that's what you've been seeing on the media. The media is part of this psychological ops, psyops, they call it, against the Iranian government.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, formerly Undersecretary of Treasury during the Reagan administration, certainly a prolific writer. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, you can find his articles up on the Internet. And, of course, the wonderful thing about the Internet is you can check what he says and what I say against the articles up there. Well, and for the first time in the 47 years that I've been involved in this, only the last few years with the Internet, have we had an opportunity for an alternative source of information, because almost every major media outlet in the United States is controlled. Now, we were talking about what's really going on in Iran. Certainly, if you watch television, why, you're going to be certain that the recent, of course, election was stolen. But as Dr. Roberts points out, 2 years ago, why, a presidential directive, an American presidential directive, was signed, and money was appropriated, over $400 million, to topple the Iranian government. And we began to employ terrorist groups, and really terrorist groups who were killing people and bombing mosques and assassinating political leaders in Iran in an effort to topple the government over there. As Dr. Roberts pointed out in one of his recent articles, why, election polls done several weeks before the election showed that twice as many people were going to vote for Ahmadinejad as for his closest competitor. Now, admittedly, that was only maybe 35% for Ahmadinejad and 14% for his competitor, but there was no question that Ahmadinejad was far more popular than his closest competitor. And, of course, all of them, of course, were thoroughly approved by the mullahs before they could run. Nobody was allowed to run. It was not approved by the mullahs. And now we're being told that Ahmadinejad stole the election. But we see these demonstrations taking place, and yet here are all these signs in English. In English, there on the streets of Tehran, the people can't even read English. It's all for the psychological impact on the American people. Would that be fair, Dr. Roberts?
Yes, I think that's fair. And you can add, of course, that Ahmadinejad defeated Rafsanjani for the presidency in the previous election by the same margin that he's now defeated Mousavi. And Mousavi is understood throughout Iran as being Rafsanjani's man. That is, they're allies, they're seen as the same. So there's nothing unusual about him defeating the substitute for the man that he defeated by the same margin. But to get back to the previous point.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to bring all of our stations back on board right just now. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, Dr. Roberts was simply saying that Ahmadinejad had defeated his opponent in this election by the same percentage he had defeated Rafsanjani 4 years ago, and of course the man he defeated this time was simply a stand-in for Rafsanjani, who is one of the Ayatollahs. But you pick up the story there, Dr. Roberts.
Yes. The defeat of Mousavi is same as his defeat of Rafsanjani. And Rafsanjani is the sponsor of Mousavi, so there's no real problem with the fact that he won overwhelmingly because he defeated Rafsanjani by the same margin. But to get back to the point that we have known at least for 2 years, since May of 2007, from ABC News, from the London Telegraph, from Cy Hirsch in the New Yorker, and from a variety of other mainstream media publications, that the United States has a destabilization plan that it is operating in Iran, and the goal is to destabilize the media, the regime. And we know also, because the Daily Telegraph, the London Telegraph, told us that in their editorial meeting with the American neoconservative and Bush administration official John Bolton, they told us this on May the 16th of 2007, that Bolton described to the Telegraph in an editorial conference what the American plan was. And he, according to the newspaper, Bolton told them that first our plan is to try to overthrow the regime with sanctions and a fomented popular revolution. And failing that, we will strike them militarily. And so what we have seen happened before our eyes in these last few days is the successful discrediting of the Iranian government. Of course, we can't topple them because the Ayatollahs and the Revolutionary Guards and the army are not about to be toppled by the CIA-orchestrated protest. But we have discredited them in the eyes of the world, the eyes of Americans at least, and they are now further isolated, and they are set up for a military attack. And I think that that's what's coming down the pike. I think the only thing that can prevent a U.S. military attack would be if Russia and China accept Iran as a full membership in their new security partnership that they have there. That then would make it difficult for the Americans and the Israelis to strike Iran, because it would constitute an attack on a guaranteed ally of two great nuclear powers who would be able to reply to us in devastating ways. And so I don't even think the insane American neoconservatives would follow that option under those conditions. But it may well be that Russia and China will decide not to take those kinds of risks and get involved in that type of a situation for the sake of Iran.
Well, I think the American people have to know that the American government interferes with other countries. How would we feel if the Chinese communists and the Russians were over here spending hundreds of millions of dollars to destabilize our nation with assassinations and murders and financing terrorists? I think we would be rightfully incensed. And yet we overthrew the democratically elected government there in 1953 and overthrew Mossadegh. We overthrew the Shah, who we'd installed in 1953. We overthrew him in 1979. Then we brought the mullahs to power, thinking that they'd be good allies and they'd be good anti-communists. And why we want to overthrow them now, I don't know. But or maybe we just want a justification for another major war in the Middle East. I think that certainly this would be a one way to centralize more power with government. But whatever it is, certainly we have no business putting out hundreds of millions of dollars to destabilize other countries throughout the world. Unless, of course, we would feel it was perfectly all right for them to do the same here in the United States. But if they did that, we would consider it an act of war. Just like, of course, we did everything we could to destabilize the Japanese government before December 7th, 1941. And we know how that ended up. So,
funded by the National Endowment for Democracy. The National Endowment for Democracy is a United States government-funded operation that pours money into foreign elections in order to elect American puppets. We've seen their success in Serbia and in Georgia and Ukraine, and they have made other efforts in Central Asia, the former Soviet republics, where they lost. But all of this is well known. This is really not speculation. This is all this huge literature on it. And so Timmerman, who is involved, whose own organization is funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, said the day before the election that there's talk of a green revolution in Iran. Well, now, why would there be pre-organized protests before anyone's voted? Especially if Mousavi and his supporters expected to win. Timmerman goes on to say that National Endowment for Democracy money has been funneled into pro-Mousavi groups. So here we have admission by people that American money is involved in backing Mousavi and the groups behind him. Now this opens him to manipulation. And what is the most extraordinary thing about Mousavi is that he was the prime minister during the entire 1980s, the most conservative period, under the Khomeini government, who overthrew the Shah. He's the one that was responsible for the terrorist attacks on the Marine barracks in Beirut that killed 241 American servicemen. Why would this man encourage protests that discredit his government and make it subject to retribution from a hostile West? It doesn't make any real sense. If he's allegedly a moderate, is this the work of a moderate? To put your own government into a very dangerous position with regard to the hostile West, as he has done? You see, what are his motives? What explains this? This has not been addressed. In fact, no one in the media has pointed out, except Jeff Stein in the Congressional Quarterly Politics on June 22nd, that Mousavi is the butcher of Beirut. Fingered by the deputy chief of naval operations, by CIA operatives in Lebanon at the time. There appears to be no doubt about this. And all of a sudden,
go right ahead. You were just saying that Mousavi, what about him now?
He's the butcher of Beirut.
He's butcher of Beirut,
turned
right.
Into an American hero by the American press. Now, how do you explain this? You know, George Orwell said, ignorance is strength.
And, of course, the thing is that the American media is not going to tell us that this man who's being projected now as a moderate was really the butcher, the man responsible for the bombing, not only, of course, the Marine Corps barracks there in Beirut, but also the American embassy in Beirut where Americans were killed.
Right.
So, basically, but the thing is that the CIA knew these things were coming, and they left our boys there to die. They knew they were coming, at least according to Robert Baer in his book, See No Evil. They knew ahead of time, and they did nothing to protect it. Our boys or the embassy, and you have to ask yourself, why? Maybe you could answer that for me.
I don't know whether they knew or not, but if they knew and did nothing, it just plays into our sort of creation of villains.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, of course, I think that this fascinating, and I certainly was not aware of the fact that this man had played such a key role in the government of the mullahs prior to his now suddenly being recast in the vein of a moderate. Maybe, of course, he's the one that we're setting up to take control when we topple the government there. Who knows?
It could be. You know, he's disgruntled because He was a leftist at the time, and he was sidetracked by the current so-called supreme leader and has been out of politics since he was prime minister. And so he could be a very disgruntled person, and he may have kept that. He may have hid his disaffection from the Ayatollahs. I think otherwise they would not have put him on the ballot, you know. Americans don't understand that to get on the ballot means you're pre-approved to be the president, because there are a large number of aspiring politicians who want to be on the ballot, and they submit their application, and a very small group of Ayatollahs sit there and go through them and pick a handful that they allow to run. And so there's no reason in Iran for election fraud, because if the Ayatollahs don't want a candidate, they simply don't put him on the ballot. And this is well known to anybody who knows anything about the Iranian system. And this has not been brought out in the media either. You know, the American media is essentially a propaganda ministry. It reminds me of the Ministry of Truth in George Orwell's 1984. And there's so much defective in the reporting on the Iranian situation. I mean, just the simple fact that we have learned from Jeff Stein in the Congressional Quarterly Politics. You know, the Congressional Quarterly is probably the most prestigious publication in Washington, D.C. And this was on June 22nd, 2009, and here's the headline. Mousavi, celebrated in Iranian protests, was the butcher of Beirut. And it's not the opinion of the author. He quotes the former deputy chief of the naval operations. He quotes the CIA station chief in Lebanon. He quotes the...
Please hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Roberts was simply saying that a recent article in the Congressional Quarterly by Jeff Stein had pointed out that the moderate, the one that the media is telling us is the moderate who was cheated out of his position there he won, really run the election, and isn't it terrible now they fix the elections over there? Because the truth of the matter is, nobody can run for a political office, including Massari, without the permission of the mullahs. So he was selected, but he had been actually the prime minister there, and he was known as the butcher of Beirut. He was the one who supervised the attack on the American embassy, where 241 Marines were killed, and the attack on the American, I should say, on the Marine barracks, and then the attack on the embassy. I mean, he was in charge of all of the attacks on America. He was a radical, you know. But, of course, the American media is not going to tell that. The media is going to project him as the moderate who really won the election, even though, of course, apparently election polls show that Ahmadinejad was going to win. But, of course, they can't let the American people know that, because this is part of an orchestrated effort on the part of the Central Intelligence Agency to destabilize the Iranian government. And who knows, maybe we're going to put in the butcher of Beirut. He'll be our selection. After all, the media says now he's a moderate, even though he was behind the murder of all the American boys back there in the year 2000 and 1983. So you pick up there, Dr. Roberts, because I think I've never heard that before. That's fascinating.
Well, I didn't know it either. I learned it from the Congressional Quarterly Politics from Jeff Stein. And he has direct quotes from Admiral Lyons, and he has direct quotes from Bob Baer. And I just, you can't have any better authority than that. We had taps on the Iranian ambassador's phones in Lebanon, and it all bears this out. That's where all this information comes from. Jeff Stein, with the help of Admiral Lyons and Bob Baer, name the actual operatives and say that they basically were selected by and reported to Mousavi. So, of course, Mousavi, being the prime minister, is not out there in the field, but this is something put in motion by him. They also say, or Lyons, Admiral Lyons, who was not merely deputy chief of naval operations, but he was also the founder of the Navy SEALs counterterror unit. And he has fingered Mousavi for the 1988 truck bombing of the U.S. Navy's fleet center in Naples, Italy. So all these terrorist activities all come back, according to the Congressional Quarterly Politics, to Mousavi, and now Mousavi is a great American hero who was going to save the Iranian people from theocracy. How did all of this go down to the memory hole? Why doesn't the media, or why doesn't the President of the United States know this?
Well, at least our listeners are going to know it, Dr. Roberts. And the thing, that's why I wanted you to come on, because I was so fascinated by the article that you wrote. I think it was in the online article just this last couple of days. But there's so much that we're not getting. And, of course, as someone once said, if you watch television and read the newspaper, or you don't watch television or read the newspapers, you're uninformed. But if you do watch television and read the newspapers, you're misinformed.
Yeah, you're brainwashed.
You're brainwashed. And so our job is, of course, to try to get the truth out, which is why I do what I do 5 hours a day. And I really appreciate so very, very much your bringing this information out. Is there anything else that we really should cover in reference to the Iranian so-called street revolution? And now, of course, we're getting all sorts of sympathy. Somebody had shot some poor Iranian lady in Tehran, simply even some distance away from the demonstration.
I think it's very easy to see what's going on there. You see, we fund the terrorist organization, MEK, MEK, and that's probably who's doing the sniping and killing the people, because it's pointless for the Iranian government have a sniper shoot a person here and there.
And, of course, the thing is, how are they getting all the people out in the streets? I mean, certainly we didn't see people out in the streets.
Well, a lot of the people we saw in the streets were people demonstrating in favor of Ahmadinejad.
Oh, they were in favor of Ahmadinejad.
Well, you see, the media doesn't differentiate between the protests.
I see. All they see is the people out there on the streets, and then we assume, of course, they're demonstrating in favor of Massari. And, of course, all we know is what we read in the newspapers, and if we read the newspapers, we're going to be misinformed.
Yeah.
Hold on. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. We're talking about the Iranian revolution, or at least supposedly revolution that's going on over there. But you really don't think that all these demonstrators are really going to be able to overthrow the Ayatollahs, do you?
No, I think it's over now, because I don't think there's any support in the country for overthrowing the revolution that freed them from an American puppet government. I don't think they want to go back to having another American puppet government. And I think they are behind Ahmadinejad because he stands up to the Americans. He doesn't sit there and not answer back and let us run all over them. So I think he has enormous support. And what we're witnessing is what Bush ordered into effect, and when he signed that order in May of 2007, a destabilization campaign. Think about the sniping, for example. There have been one or two or several deaths from snipers. And this, of course, has been blamed by the American media on the Iranian government. Well, it makes no sense.
Hold that thought right there for a moment as we bring our other stations back on board here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, is Dr. Paul Greig Roberts, who's our guest today, was saying what we're seeing today is the fulfillment of an executive order that was put forward by President Bush to destabilize the Iranian government. And we know that they put about, well, at least $400 million into hiring terrorists and hiring terrorist groups and assassinating people and blowing up mosques and doing everything they could to destabilize the American government. Now, I want you, if you're in the listening audience, I want you to think, how would you feel if the Chinese communists were hiring terrorists and financing them to come into the United States and kill people and assassinate people and blow up churches and things of that sort? I mean, we would be incensed. And yet, of course, this is the situation that exists in Iran. Dr. Roberts is simply pointing out that Ahmadinejad has overwhelming support. Contrary to what you've read, if you go up, there's an article recently in the Washington Post, you can pull it down on the internet and we'll send it to you. When they polled the people, suddenly, 2 weeks before the elections, Ahmadinejad had twice as many votes as the man, of course, he supposedly stole the election from. Well, I mean, these were polls of 1,000 people. Huffington Post and a few of the others have tried to muddy the water and say, well, see, they didn't have 50%. He only had 35% or 34%. His closest opponent had 14%. See, but that doesn't mean he had a majority. Well, the rest of the people didn't know how they were going to vote. But Dr. Roberts has made the point, and I think it's very clear. The Iranian people do not want to overthrow the mullahs. They do not want another American puppet. They lived under the Shah, who was an American puppet, and they resented it. At least Ahmadinejad is standing up to the Americans, and he's saying a lot of things that are inflammatory. But, of course, they want somebody who will stand up for Iran and not simply be another puppet for the United States. And believe me, we are not very popular over in Iran with the common people, especially with the atrocities now we hear about being carried out in Iraq, and they're hiding the pictures there, because they know that if they release the pictures of the atrocities, why, if we would inflame the whole of the Middle East, and instead of course, doing what would be logical, and that would be simply for President Obama to say these are terrible pictures and we are going to go ahead and arrest and convict the people. We have the pictures of them committing these atrocities. Why are they covering up the pictures and not going after the people who committed the atrocities? Do you honestly think that is going to endear us to the people of Iran and the other Muslim nations? Right, you go right ahead. And, Chris, one thing that Dr. Roberts made, point he made is, why would the Iranian government want to go around having snipers killing innocent people? Could it possibly be that the terrorists that were hired by the CIA with the $400 million that the CIA was given to destabilize the government? Could American-financed terrorists be killing people today? They've killed them in the past, the last several years. But don't shake my word for it, or Dr. Roberts' word. Go up and look. Just go to your search engine on your computer and type in CIA destabilize Iran $400 million. And go right ahead, Dr. Roberts.
Yes, well, I thought that was a fairly good summation, Dr. Stan. The terrorist organization, MEK, I think is sort of like an umbrella for a variety of them. And they've already killed people and blown up things in Iran. This is well known. It's not my opinion. But what it seems obvious to me is the Iranian government has nothing to gain from having a sniper kill a few protesters, because all that does is give them a blacker eye in the international press and American media, and makes them more isolated. So if the Iranian government wants to kill protesters, it'll just send revolutionary guards out and tell them to clear the streets. It doesn't clear the streets to have a sniper shoot one person. And so there's nothing to be gained by the Iranian government from the sniping efforts. These, I think, are part of the orchestrated destabilization, which they're using the election and the protests to achieve. Now, we have to keep in mind and admit that many of the protesters are sincere. They're young people. They're secularized. And basically, they're in Tehran, the capital. They're westernized. They don't like the Islamic moral codes that segregate sexes. The women don't like it because it imposes dress codes. They can't show off their attractiveness, their beauty. They can't show the curves in their legs and their breasts and makeup and all the rest. And so they don't want to live under that. So they see these things as interfering with their personal life. So there are legitimate protesters out there. But what they're not, but what they, I don't know why they think Mousavi would change any of that, or why they think the president of Iran, which is an underling and can't do anything that the higher councils of Ayatollahs don't approve, the whole thing is really blown out of all proportion because the president of Iran really hasn't got much power. He's not an American president. He's an underling who's basically administering the government. So, but still, there are these sincere elements in the protest. And there are also splits among the Ayatollahs. Some of them have advanced politically at the expense of others. And Mousavi has been sidelined since he was prime minister for the decade of the 80s. And some of his backers, such as Rafsanjani and the other grand Ayatollah, have lost out in elections or been sidelined by the higher Ayatollahs. And they want to get back into the works. And so they saw in the protest an opportunity to undermine the current ruling clique in order to regain power themselves. And this, I think, was a serious miscalculation on their part. It showed their unawareness or their hubris or their self-confidence that Iran was immune to outside manipulation, and yet they played into the hands of the CIA, just as the sincere protesters among the secularized youth of Tehran played into the CIA's hands. And this is why destabilization campaigns succeed. There are all sorts of disagreements anywhere, in any country. And it's very easy to play on those disagreements and dissatisfactions and create a situation. And that's what's happened. And when you have a media that simply follows the government's line, never gives any alternative explanation to the government's line, is incapable of knowing the facts because it's essentially ignorant, then you can see why the success of this campaign against Iran. And I think it has been successful. I do not think that the regime will be overthrown. I think that it's over. I may be wrong, but I think that the protests and so forth are now over. But Iran is isolated now, more than ever. It's discredited. Obama can now withdraw his diplomatic approach and go back to everything is on the table, a military strike. How can we have diplomacy with a country that has rigged elections, unlike us, of course, and that uses violence against the protesters and blah, blah, blah. It'll go on forever. You know exactly what they'll say. And so a hard line will form, and we'll demand that our European NATO allies back us and more sanctions, and we'll end up provoking a war. And that's, I think, what will be the effect of having demonized the country and exposing them to this type of discrediting. So I think we need to gear up and be prepared that there will be a military strike on Iran, because that then frees the Middle East for Israeli expansion. It's the end of Hamas, the end of Hezbollah. It's the expansion of Israel, of all of Palestine and South Lebanon. And, of course, Syria will immediately fall because Syria will be the only last government that's independent of American puppets or American invasion, and they'll simply give up and do whatever we tell them. So that's the, and John Bolton has laid all this out, and recently on the BBC, Henry Kissinger was there, and he said, well, if this popular revolution, he called it, fails, we'll have to go back to the drawing board and come up with some other means for regime change. So that is the policy of the United States government. Kissinger is still well keyed in. He's part of the whole operation of American hegemony. And that's what is going to be exercised over Iran if we have our way.
But of course, you know, this is exactly what happened to Japan in the years leading up to World War II. And suddenly we demonized Japan. We put sanctions on Japan. We cut off their ability to buy natural resources any place in the world, their ability to buy, you know, oil any place in the world. Japan didn't even have any oil. They had to. I mean, suddenly if you couldn't buy oil, how could you have a navy? How could you have a military? How could you even survive as a nation if we didn't have any oil and somebody cut off our oil supply? We would have to attack them. And of course, what we're doing is creating an impossible situation for the Iranian government. I think our sanctions have had a serious impact on them already, and we're doing everything to create a situation to justify a war. The American people don't want to expand a war over there. The implications of this could be really devastating as far as they're closing down the Straits of Hormuz. They're attacking some of the Saudi oil refineries or the place where they ship their oil from. This could have a profound impact on America, and yet it seems that the establishment, the Henry Kissinger and the John Boltons and the neoconservatives, seem to be intent upon expanding the war, and certainly President Obama will just be able to shrug and say, well, it's not my fault. I just inherited this mess from George Bush. It's his fault.
Well, I think that's pretty much sums it up, except I think that Obama will have to lead it because otherwise the Israel lobby will be all over him. And as Admiral Tom Morris said a number of years ago, no American president can stand up to the Israel lobby. And I've never seen one able to do that, whether in office or in retirement. So I think that war with Iran is in the cards.
But, of course, whenever we have a war, we lose more of our freedom. And certainly we have this so-called terrorist threat. And because of that, we've lost a lot of our freedom. But if there is another major shooting war, and especially with the implications of what would happen with, certainly if Iran would dare to retaliate and strike Saudi Arabia in an effort to hurt the United States, I mean, think of how much more freedom we will lose here, because they want to have somebody else wants to have a war. The American people don't want to have a war with Iran, no matter how unjust we may think that they are, and how beautiful that tragic woman who was shot. In fact, I couldn't help but think as I saw pictures of her laying on the street over and over again that they'd obviously picked a very beautiful woman to kill. Somebody killed a beautiful woman for no reason at all. And why would they do that and then show her picture over and over and over again?
That's why they killed her.
To pull on the heartstrings of the American people.
Yeah, it's obvious why they killed her. It plays to the destabilization. It plays to the image that we're creating of the Iranian government. So I'm almost certain she was killed by MEK or some CIA-funded group. It makes no sense for the Iranian government to have done that. It gains them nothing. It only hurts them. So, but it gains the United States destabilization plan a tremendous amount. So these things are all transparent to anybody capable of thought. But Most Americans, I'm afraid, Dr. Standard, are emotional. And they respond emotionally. And the media is very good at making them respond emotionally. And here's Obama today, you know, denouncing Iran for its violence. And here's a man who has escalated the war in Afghanistan, who started a new one in Pakistan, that's already produced 2 million refugees, who's part of the setup of Iran for attack, and he's denouncing the Iranian government for putting down street protests. Now, does anyone believe that Obama would let protesters take over the streets of Washington, D.C.? Who believes that? Is anybody that big of a fool to think that Obama is going to let protesters take over the streets of Washington, D.C.? And yet, the hypocrisy, the blatant, obvious hypocrisy of Obama in telling the Iranian government, let the protesters control the streets. Why don't people see this? Why are they so blind? It's because their emotions are manipulated by the media. First of all, they're ignorant. They know nothing about Iran. The media will never tell them anything. The media knows nothing. Nobody wants to know anything. We have a campaign to demonize them. And that's all anybody will get. They're being demonized. They're demons. They use violence against protesters. Well, just imagine how much violence you'd think there would be in Washington, D.C.
In fact, I couldn't help when I heard this story and saw the pictures of this poor woman who was killed there in Tehran. I couldn't help but think of Kent State, when, of course, there were four or five American students shot down, gunned down at Kent State. I feel sorry for the police, the National Guard that was called in there, and they never should have been sent in there with no training and with automatic rifles. Why would you, if you're dealing with crowd control, why would you send, you know, troops in who didn't have no knowledge of how to control a crowd with automatic weapons? The only thing they could use would be to use them in their own defense, and they started shooting students. But where was the cry for an effort to overthrow the American government in response to that?
But you see, Dr. Stan, to make the Kent State comparable to Iran, we would have to have, say, Russian financed terrorist groups in there shooting the students and blaming the National Guard.
Well, I think that's probably a valid point.
Then we have the comparison to what's happening in Iran. We have American-financed terrorist groups shooting young people and blaming Iran.
Right. Well, I think the tragedy is that the average American doesn't think, and that's why I appreciate so much your willingness to come on with us and share your thoughts on this, because, I mean, your article is certainly one of the clearest and concise estimates of what's going on. Hang on, we've just got a couple of minutes more. We've got to let some of the stations change, though. Well, we have 3 minutes now to wrap up the program. What is the parting thought you'd like to have for our listeners out across America?
Well, I think that they should be aware that this destabilization campaign has succeeded in the sense that it has now isolated and demonized Iran even more, and they are now set up for the second part of John Bolton's strategy, which he laid out to the London newspapers, of a military strike. We will be told now that a government that won't listen to its own people, that uses violence against its own people, cannot be trusted with nuclear weapons. And the fact that the atomic energy inspectors report over and over that there are no nuclear weapon programs, they can't find any, that the National Intelligence Estimate, all 16 American intelligence agencies report over and over that Iran abandoned its nuclear weapons programs in 2003 or 2004. All of this will fall in the background, and we will hear that how can we trust a regime with nuclear weapons that murders its own people in the streets and rigs elections and blah, blah, blah. And so that is what is coming. You can be prepared for it. That's exactly what will be the news for the next year. I don't know exactly when we will attack them, but you can see how it will happen and how it will be prepared, and that's what we're in for.
Well, I fear that you're absolutely 100% right. I mean, because if you look and see what's going on today, none of it makes sense from a logical point of view. And if it doesn't make sense from a logical point of view, then there has to be another explanation, a much larger agenda. But the last thing they want the American people to remember is that we have been financing terrorism in Iran. We have been actually spending money to try to topple the government. Very obviously, the street demonstrations we're witnessing have been orchestrated by somebody with a great deal of money. We've seen it happen twice before in Iran in 1953 and 1979. Why should we think that the CIA is any less competent today than it was then? Dr. Roberts, thank you so very much for being with us. I really appreciate it. Tremendous insight into what's going on, and I just hope at least our listeners are going to have a much different outlook than they had before.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed talking with you, Dr. Stan.
Well, I always enjoy having you. God bless you. Thanks so very much.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
And good night.
Good night. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I do hope that you've enjoyed my interview with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, and I think he's absolutely right. How do we make any sense out of it? Why, it's a prelude to war, of course. Why do you think that they would have a lot of pictures of people out the streets of Tehran demonstrating in support of Ahmadinejad? And then, of course, but they tell us that these are people, of course, demonstrating against the government. Why they want to make us think that there's tremendous popular support, you know, for overthrowing the mullahs, and yet the man that was running against Ahmadinejad was known as the Butcher of Beirut. He was a ruthless tyrant, and now we're going to support him, and we're making him look like a born-again savior, and yet this was the man, the man who was Ahmadinejad's opponent, who supervised the murder of the Americans in the embassy in Beirut in 1983, and the murder of 241 Marines in Beirut, Marine barracks in 1983. Why doesn't the media tell us what a brutal man he was? He was the one organizing Hezbollah, and he was the one organizing Hamas. He makes Ahmadinejad look like a pussycat. And yet, of course, you'd never know that from reading the American media. And what you must understand is the media's control. We are governed. Our minds are molded. Our tastes are formed. Ideas are suggested largely by men we have never heard of. And that's what it's all about. And that's why I do what I do 5 hours a day and prepare for another major war in the Middle East. When it's coming, I don't know, but it's coming. And behind all of this are the powerful spiritual forces. And when we try to attribute all of this to Israel, we have to understand that there really are secret societies and spiritual forces behind this whole thing. And they are planning on a massive war in the Middle East. And all you need to do is read the scriptures, Ezekiel 38 and 39, to find out all about it. If you haven't, of course, got our four tapes, pardon me, our DVDs, on the final countdown with Pastor Billy Crone, you need to get them. They're two parts, part one, part two, each with five DVDs. And then, of course, if you want to see them on CD, why we have the first of five talks, and it's called The Coming Armageddon. So as we look at things from a geopolitical point of view, we must also look at them from a spiritual point of view. You need to get my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness or my book. You need to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get my talk on the Financial Armageddon and the syllabus that goes with that, and understand the powerful spiritual forces behind this whole financial catastrophe we're witnessing today, and it's just going to get worse and worse, and eventually it's going to destroy the whole economy of our nation, destroy the value of our currency, impoverish our people, and that is the plan. That they know exactly what they're doing, and the war will simply facilitate that plan and justify ever more control over the lives of the American people. And then they can say, oh shucks, the dollar's collapsed and everybody's lost their pensions and their insurance company, but it's all Ahmadinejad's fault. It's his fault. And he'll be equated with Tojo, as we hear in Japan, or Adolf Hitler in Germany. But, of course, nobody ever talks about the communist Chinese. Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews. The communist Chinese starved to death between 30 and 40 million people between 1958 and 1962 in the Great Hunger. Why don't we ever talk about that in America? Why? Because the Chinese are such wonderful people. Why don't we ever talk about the one-child policy that we are financing in communist China today? Why don't we talk about how we have built up the economy of communist China? Why don't we talk about the $50 billion we're giving to General Motors so they can shove their, suddenly transfer their industrial production to the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, and China? Well, the American people just wouldn't understand. Our job is to help them understand. We hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, till tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.